I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Wow, there's so much here. But it begins with recognizing we've been blessed with all spiritual blessing. Now, that's the result of the new covenant. The old covenant provided blessing in the natural, like healing and prosperity, protection, deliverance from natural enemies. But the new covenant provided something the old couldn't, and that was spiritual blessings. And the reason the old couldn't provide that, sin was still in the heart of man. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, cleansed of our sin, and have the remissioners taken out. So then the Holy Spirit could come in, and you're the vessel, the temple of God, personally. And then as we gather in his name corporately, we are a dwelling place or temple of God. We have all spiritual blessing, which could be summed up love and joy and peace. Spiritual blessing. You have access to that. Now, whether you tap into it, that's up to you. But we have access to it. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God had a plan before he started. He didn't just start doing stuff and then midstream say, "Oh, we have change of plans here. This isn't working out the way that I thought." No, it wasn't the case at all. He had a plan from the beginning before he even started. It's wise for us to be like him and do that. It says, verse 5, he predestinated us to be adopted children. The word predestined means he planned ahead for this. Now, this is an area sometimes confusion comes in the body of Christ, where people think, well, if you're saved, it's because you specifically were chosen before, and the ones that aren't, well, God chose for them to go to hell. No, the Bible says whosoever believes on him can receive everlasting life. That he loved everyone so much that he died for everyone, but it's up to us to repent and believe and receive him. But it was within his plan that all human beings have opportunity to be saved. Before the beginning, he had a plan, and that is that we would be adopted children. I want to talk about that for a moment. You're an adopted child. Now, in chapter 2, around verse 1, it says, brings out that we were children of the devil or children of disobedience. We were born into sin. We need to be born again. Our spirit, we were born because Adam sinned to follow Satan. Sin came into him and it was passed on to us as a seed. When the law comes, it waters the seed and that sprouts and rebellion begins to emerge in a one-year-old child. No. It's interesting when a child learns the word no. A little word with big impact. No. No. Daddy said yes, yes. No. You know, so they, you know, the child begins exalting itself. And what happens, a person will do that until they come to the place where they are willfully and knowingly rebelling against God. And at that point, they die spiritually. In Romans chapter 7, Paul said, "I was alive once. The law came, sin revived, and I died." That's where I get what I just shared with you a couple minutes before, is that he were born spiritually alive. If a child is aborted or dies as a young child, you'll see them in heaven. They didn't die spiritually yet. But once you come to understand, you come into rebellion, you die spiritually, and at that point, someone can be born again. I know the day that I died. Pastor Bill, you're standing here. You didn't die. Yeah, I know the day that I died. I don't know if I've ever really heard anybody say this before, but I know the day I died. I was being taken to a Methodist church, and I was hearing things like the Ten Commandments. And my sister and I both had a piggy bank with pennies, nickels, maybe some dimes in there. You could buy something with a nickel and a dime back then. You used to get that mint juleps candy, too, for a penny. How many remember those days? But I broke into her piggy bank, my sister's piggy bank, and I stole pennies and nickels and dimes. I was a thief at the age of 5-6 years old. But see, I have sin nature. And I heard, thou shalt not steal. And there was a conviction came. And I can still remember, I was laying on the floor. Something happened on the inside. That life of God left me. And I began a quest and a journey to know God. And I began asking my mom questions. And some of them, you know, she couldn't really answer for me. And then I drifted away and ended up, you know, drugs and all kinds of stuff, destroying my life. Got saved at the age of 18. Now, I won't go into all that, but you're born spiritually alive and then you die. And then we need to be born again. And God had chosen that even though we were children of the devil with various manifestation of sin nature, even though that's who you were, his plan was that he would choose you to become part of his family. Now, many of you have brothers or sisters. You didn't get to pick them. You guys get to pick your brother. No, you gotta walk in love. They're born into your family. And it's one of the, you know, in raising children, the big issue first is daddy and mommy. But it becomes the next big issue with kids. You got to walk in love with your brother or sister. And you'll fight over that probably more. You know, when I say fight, you'll have to encounter, fuss with them more over that. Because their flesh wants to exalt self. It's selfish and manifests out different ways. But you begin to teach them to walk in love. Well, you didn't pick your brother or sister. So you're forced to have to walk in love. A good parent makes their children. I mean, for my sons to fight, that is not allowed. You have to fight dad. They never fought dad. So in other words, you will surrender. You will not fight with your brother. It's not allowed. You will pay a price. So, you know, when you have understood consequence, it really reduces the acts of sin. That's where, like, one of the things, it's a basic thing. It's so stupid in our society, people wanting to say, let criminals go free. Why would they hesitate to rob and steal and kill if there's no consequence? It's just, you know, people that think are so smart propagating these ideas, they're idiots. They don't understand the most basic thing, that there has to be something to restrain the flesh from the flesh doing whatever, which would bring self-destruction and hurt other people. Well, that's what the law does for us. It provides those boundaries. But we still had sin in our heart, and our heart needs to be changed. And to be free from guilt, the guilt of all of it, you need to know you're forgiven, which is through Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to empower us to do the will of God. And we need to draw upon him. Well, God planned you to be an adopted child. An adopted child, you're not born into the family, you're picked. And if someone's adopted, that is a great honor and bestowing of love, in that I say, I choose you. Now, if a child is orphaned, which we don't have so much of that here in this country, but I remember being in Siberia, and the one pastor was giving the tour of buildings that, and most of the ministries there at that time, they had drug rehab and orphanages, because drug addiction was way worse than here, probably 5 to 10 times worse, and I'm not exaggerating. And people would die, maybe get drunk or do drugs, wander out in the cold, pass out, freeze to death, and they wouldn't find them till the snow thawed in the spring. There's snow over top of them. This was a common thing in central Siberia. So you have these orphan kids, and this pastor was telling me how, you know, it's like a city of a million. There's probably at any given point in time at least 10,000 kids on the street. Well, you're not going to live long in Siberia on the street. I mean, maybe down in Florida you could do that, but not in Siberia. And the Russian mafia would look to take them and make them slaves, essentially. And they would try to find these orphans before that would happen to them. So anyway, he showed me this building they got, put orphans, and says, well, how do you handle your orphanage? I said, well, we don't have any. He looked kind of shocked. I said, well, we don't need to do orphan ministry in our church. In our society, relatives many times will adopt, or they'll go with grandparents or someone like that. Then there is foster care, where our government will pay people to take care of orphan kids. And if we're still outside of the box there, there are government-run orphanages. And he was like blown away, complete shock. They'll just die. They'll just be made slaves, scooped up by the mafia, or just die. And where it comes to like an orphanage, an orphan child has nothing to give anyone. They're destitute. They have nothing. Now, orphans and true widows, we are told to show compassion to them because they can't take care of themselves and they have nothing to give. They're in a desperate situation. So if someone adopts you, they say, I choose you. You have nothing to give to me, but I see something in you. I choose you. Now, people like to feel special. Everybody wants to feel special. And if someone's dealt with rejection in their life, this is very important that you know someone accepts you. Some young people, they'll join gangs or do stupid things to be accepted. I think boys are worse with that than girls, but I don't know. What do you think? I mean, most girls, you know, as they're growing up, they see boys do really stupid stuff. You know, trying to prove I'm a man or to be accepted. And some people might begin drinking alcohol to be accepted or fight or whatever it is to be accepted. We have a human need to be accepted. You are accepted. Verse 6 says, in the beloved or through Jesus Christ, God accepts you as you are. He says, I choose you. I love you for who you are, even though your life's full of sin. Because he had a plan for creation, for mankind, but he also had a plan for you before you were even born. You know, Jeremiah speaks of being known in the womb before he was born. You, as a Christian, you cannot acknowledge all of the Bible and say abortion's okay. Because that is a life created by God within the womb with a plan and a purpose that's given by God. He has a plan for our life. So when you adopt or choose someone, you're doing it seeing something in them. Something that draws you to them. That's what grace is in some uses of the word grace. I see something in you that I want to bless you. I want to bless you. There's something about you. Even though in the natural there's nothing there. I see something in you. I want to bless you. God has chosen you. While you were yet in sin. Romans 5, verse 8 said that he loved us while we were yet in sin. In other words, there was no good thing in us. There was only potential. And he can see that potential. He can see past the outer shell. He can see past the ways of the flesh and see what's in your spirit. He knows what's there. He put it there. He knows the future that he would will and desire for your life. And he wants to bring that to pass and bless you in it, to take you out from sin and darkness and bring you into light. God does have a plan for your life. You will be successful according to that. You will be happy according to that. Your happiness isn't according to doing fun things, but it's according to walking what's in you. Walking out that which God put on the inside of you, whatever that might be. And as we're going along, drawing near to Him, fellowshipping with Him, beginning to serve, you begin to understand what He put in you. And it might be somebody else who says, you know, I see this in you. And you didn't even see it in yourself yet. God has something in you, and you are chosen, adopted. Have you ever got a dog or a cat, puppy or a kitty? And you go and there's, say, a litter of five of them. Have you ever did this? There's a litter of them. You're going to pick one. You're going to adopt that animal into your family. And they do become part of the family. Unless you just have them tied to a box out in the backyard somewhere. But you're adopting and you'll pick one. And it's interesting, there'll be something that attracts someone. Maybe for one person, that puppy looks so helpless, he needs a lot of love, I pick him. And the next person is once real playful and aggressive, I pick him. And there might be another one just comes up and just sitting there looking at you, adoring you. I choose that one. See, we can relate this in this way where you choose someone. Now, boy meets girl, fall in love, are going to marry. You've chosen who you're going to share your life with. There's something that attracted you. Sometimes when people have struggles, I'll ask them, what was it that attracted you in the first place? We got to go back to favor here. You got to find something good in them, because if all you see is the bad in them, you're going to fight till you kill each other. Is there something good? Can you name something good about them? Now, I know we're really in trouble when they're, I don't know. I can't remember anything. Then you're in big trouble. No human being's perfect. You can find fault with anyone. But if you can see that something that's good in them, you can appreciate them for what is in them, rather than having a critical spirit for what's not in them, or a critical spirit for something they're doing wrong. You see, your spirit's going to be affected by your eyesight in the spirit. How you see it. You see a person, there's something good in them, you'll value them. If all you see is their faults, you want to get away from them. You want nothing to do with them. And there's a discipline we walk in where we learn to be like God and see the good. How would you like if God only looked at your faults and flaws and all he did is want to hammer you? No, he wants you to come to him. He is pleased when we come to him in faith and fellowship with him. As a parent, something that's like an awesome moment, like you come home, your kids run up and grab a hold of your leg. Of course, they're only this tall, you know. Daddy, 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 mommy, mommy. I still enjoy my granddaughters come up. Grandpa, grandpa, give me a hug. Our heavenly fathers like that magnified 100-fold. He's so thrilled that you responded to him choosing you and you being his. And you just come to him. See, we can feel so adequate. What can I do for God? We can feel inadequate. He's just blessed. You just come, run to him, grab a hold of his leg. I'm saying that's a figure of speech. It is according to the good pleasure of his will, it says in verse 5. Oh, it pleases him to bless you even though there was sin. To the praise of the glory of his grace, it says in verse 6. Or in other words, in the way he set things up, it magnifies the fact that he is for you. It's so magnified. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's by his grace, he makes you a new creature. He makes you what you are. And he accepts us. If you've grown up under a cloud of rejection, some people, that's, they grow up with that, and being told they're no good, they're stupid, whatever, it's very damaging to someone's soul. If any of you deal with that, meditate on this verse. Speak it to yourself. I am accepted in Jesus Christ. I'm accepted because of my faith, not because of how good I am, not because of my works. But God has accepted me already. He's chosen me. You may need to hear yourself speak those things. I've been chosen by the Lord. I'm accepted in Him. And verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption. You were a slave to sin. You were in bondage to the devil. But He paid the price to bring you out of it. See, if you're a slave, even today there's still slaves in the earth. An acquaintance of mine, Bruce Latibieu, had been going into Pakistan and some other countries too, but buying children out of slavery. In Pakistan, children are made slaves. And he'll go in there and, you know, whatever, $50, $100, whatever, to buy them out to be free. But then he doesn't say, well, okay, kid, run and play. Then they have to establish a place like an orphanage, a place they can stay and be educated and learn to know God. People are still bought out of bondages today. Maybe the closest thing for some of us would be if somebody came and paid your mortgage off because you're in bondage to the bank. Oh, no, I'm not. Well, don't pay and you'll find out. They'll pay you a visit. They'll take everything you have. Well, Jesus paid the price to bring us out of bondage into liberty, out of darkness into light, out of death into life. Through His blood, He paid with His blood. The forgiveness of sin, or in other words, your sin, you don't have to pay for it. He said, I release you of it. According to, it's according to something, the riches of His grace. His grace, His favor towards you is greater than all the sins you could ever commit. That's something just to meditate upon and make us want to sing and dance, praise the Lord. I can never be. I've encountered people where they think they're too rotten of a sinner to be saved. Well, you're not saved by your works, pal. Jesus will make you new. He'll make you a new creature. He'll put a spirit in you and empower you to walk with Him and do His will. We've been redeemed by the Lord. We're going to partake communion so the ushers could distribute the bread in a cup a while and the worship team could come up. We're going to have communion and identify with Christ, with His body and His blood. I encourage you to release faith when we do this for the redemptive blessings. If you need peace, believe God for it. You need healing, believe God for it. Forgiveness, repent, believe God. You are forgiven. You know, you need to believe God's word. I am forgiven. Sometimes people have trouble forgiving themselves. That's putting your thinking and your opinion above the word of God. God says that if you'll confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He doesn't just do a little scrub over, He'll wipe you clean. Praise the Lord. It's a great blessing. So we're going to partake communion and our time of worship and then have a meal together. Praise the Lord.